Thank you. If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel and to chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we're continuing our studies in Luke's Gospel, and we'll begin to read at verse 12 through to verse 32. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came to him, carrying a paralytic on a mat, and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen. We'll end the reading of God's word there at verse 32. In Luke 19, verse 10, we read Jesus' statement about himself and his mission. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." What's Luke's gospel about? What's the life of Christ about? Who he is, the Son of Man, God with us in human form, seeking what is lost, saving what is lost. He went around teaching. People came to hear his teaching. "You have the words of eternal life." And indeed he does. because he speaks the very words of God. He is God with us. And so here in this passage, we can see the person of Christ. We can see who he is, God with us. We can see the power of Christ, God with us. We can see the presence of Christ. It's not just that God is up in heaven with all power up there, and here we are struggling and striving on our own, but God is present with us. He is there to cleanse, to heal, to call. Luke seems to have an emphasis on those that are overlooked, those that are downtrodden, those that are outcasts, whether it's those that are poor, those that are unwell, sick with different diseases, whether it's women, those that were marginalized in society. But the theme is that Jesus is the great liberator. As we read in Luke 4, he came to proclaim good news to the captives, liberty to those that are in chains. And here he goes about that work. In the previous section here that John Mark looked at last week, the miraculous catch of fish and the call of those disciples, he said to them in verse 10, "Don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men." So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. And it seems that one of the first things after that call to discipleship, as those disciples followed Jesus, that he gave them an example of what he came to do, an example of what they were to do, as he went to reach and to seek and to save that which was lost. So we have three stories, three encounters here of people with Jesus. The first one we see is a man who is cleansed. Then we see a man who is cured. And then we can see a man who is called. The first one we read is in verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Leprosy is a word that can cover a multitude of skin diseases in their society. Leprosy. But it seems that this one does seem to be leprosy itself. It's Luke that wrote it, Dr. Luke. But it also seems to be a word that he uses to describe it. It's not just that he's in the early stages of this, or that's a little bit affected him a little bit. He says he's covered in leprosy. He's in the last stages of this. Probably disfigured. Leprosy is a horrible disease that affects your nerves. You can't feel things. So don't know that you're hurting yourself by touching a hot stove or whatever it would be. And it eats away at the body itself. But here he is, covered with leprosy. Leprosy would make him ceremonially unclean, unable to share fellowship with people in the synagogue, unable to enter into the temple. In fact, to keep him from spreading his leprosy to other people, he would have been banished from the home that other people were in. He wouldn't have been able to associate with big crowds. An outcast would have to call out and maybe even ring something and say, "Unclean, unclean," to make sure that people parted way. No physical contact with anybody. Seemed to be rejected by people, seemed to be rejected by God. In his pain and his suffering and his loneliness, who can he reach out to? It seems that God himself has rejected him. But notice not just the terrible condition he was in, but the wonderful revelation he had. When he saw Jesus, from his situation, it caused him to look for somebody, for someone who could do something about his situation. And he went to find him. Even though there's crowds of people around, he probably shouldn't have been there. Other people parted company, kept their distance, but Jesus did not. God is never far removed from our suffering, from our pain, from our problems, our difficulties. He's not afraid to stand there and to face up to it, to look at this person. He didn't move back and shirk away thinking, "He's going to contaminate me." But you see, Jesus looked at him. Jesus saw him, but he saw Jesus. And he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. Fell in a position, as it were, of worship. And look at his petition. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I don't think he's saying, if you are able. He seems to believe that Jesus is able. He seems to have that faith. He doesn't seem to be doubting Jesus' kindness. But what he is coming with is an attitude of humility and of the fact that he doesn't deserve this. If you're willing, I don't deserve your cleansing. I don't deserve this healing. It's an acknowledgement a bit like last week when we saw Peter saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He recognizes his own unworthiness. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You are able. I believe you can. And what does Jesus say? I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Maybe you noticed I skipped over a bit in verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Everyone else had parted ways, but Jesus touched him. Maybe the first physical contact we've had with anyone for quite some time. There seem to be a lot of coughs and colds going around, don't there? If I say this next bit, everyone will be trying to stifle coughs, but if somebody was here looking like they had a temperature and sniffing and coughing and whatever else, you might sort of maybe keep your distance if you're wanting to stay healthy. But there's a lot going around, isn't there? But here, people were doing that, but not Jesus. Because you see, the contamination that other people feared is not something that could contaminate Jesus. Because he is himself cleanness. Not that he is cleanliness, that he had a bath every day in that sense, but he was able to impart that cleanness to others. You see, the leprosy had met its match with the maker of all things. And as Jesus touched the man and said, be clean, immediately he was clean. It isn't that Jesus was contaminated with the uncleanness, but that the cleanliness, the health of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus, of God, was parted to him. And he was immediately clean. You see, leprosy in the Bible is often a picture of sin. It spoils the life. It separates from people. It separates from God. But the Saviour came to seek and to save that which was lost, that which was separated, and to bring them near, bring them close. Sometimes we sing the song, isn't it? I think it's Gaithers wrote it, didn't they? He touched me. Starts off, shackled by a heavy burden. But then the Lord Jesus touched me. And he made me whole. Jesus cleansed this man, not just from his leprosy, his disease, but from that which contaminated him in his community. And also now he'd be able to go and worship at the synagogue. And worship at the temple. I am willing. Be clean. A man who is cleansed. What do we see in this little incident? Jesus has the power to heal. He has the power to cleanse. Sometimes we sing the song, don't we? He has the power to cleanse and heal. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. Jesus then told him not to tell anyone, but to go and show himself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. In Leviticus 14, there's a whole list of things that they should do if someone was cleansed from their leprosy. It never had to be used. Jesus said from that time till this, early on in Luke's gospel, there was only Naaman the leper who was cleansed from his leprosy. Not a member of the Jewish community. And so wouldn't have needed to go through that ceremonial cleansing, as it were. But Jesus is saying to go to the priest and basically tell him the Messiah has come. Because there's been someone who's cleansed from their leprosy. Who is this man? He is God with us, who came to seek and to save that which is lost. Maybe in our lives, the things that have contaminated them. They are living a life of sin, of uncleanness. Jesus sees it. Jesus knows it. But Jesus can cleanse it. And if, like the leper, we would see Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Hear his answer. I am willing. Be clean. The news spread about this man, about this more and more. And so Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. What an example for us too. But when we've closed our doors, as it were, and prayed to our Father who's in secret, to that time with our Heavenly Father alone. You see, Jesus didn't just come to heal. He came to cleanse. To cleanse from sin, from the separation between God and people. And then we see Jesus cures a man. Here is one day the Pharisees and teachers of the law who'd come. They were listening there too. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. The person of Christ, the power of God, and the presence of God with them. And then four men. Well, some men, it says here in Luke. I think it's in Mark you read that there's four of them. Came to carry this paralytic on a mat and tried to take him to the house to lay him before Jesus. They seemed to have faith that Jesus could do something about this man's condition. I think we see later on it seems that this man too had faith. And then they took him to lay him before Jesus, but they couldn't find a way because of the crowd. They went to the roof and lowered him through the tiles. We're told here in Luke that there's tiles on the roof. That means that they could part them and then put them back together again later. I don't quite know, but it was still an unusual situation, isn't it? I remember being in the living room of the house a few years ago and water started coming through the ceiling. It was like, oh, there's a problem here. But if there was people coming in through the roof and things, bits falling down, it would be a bit surprising, wouldn't it? Shocking. But they weren't deterred by the hindrances. They kept persevering in seeking Jesus. I said that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It seems that the man with leprosy came to seek Jesus. And we see that partly it's his condition that brought him to see Jesus. In fact, many of you may have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada, who, as a 17-year-old young lady, became a quadriplegic, really, or paralytic from the neck down through a diving accident in water. Devastating, terrible condition. Yet later on she'd come to terms with this and then called this condition that she was in a gift. Hang on, how could a tragedy and something so terrible as that be seen as a gift? And yet she saw it as a gift because it was that that seemed to bring her closer to God. And I wonder about this leper here. Yes, a terrible condition. Tragic, devastating. But it brought him to Jesus. And sometimes, not every situation maybe, and we don't know specific situations themselves, but sometimes God allows what he hates, such as leprosy, to bring about what he loves. A person cleansed, a person healed, a person restored. In fellowship with God. And so it was God that used that to bring this man to Jesus. But the paralytic, he was brought to Jesus by friends. He couldn't get there by himself, but they brought him. And I wonder, sometimes as Christians, do we uphold our friends? Do we pray for others who maybe can't help themselves? And pray by faith. Believing that God can do something about them and about their situation. I think as these men were lowering their friend down through the roof, I don't think they were expecting to have to pull him back up again. I think they were bringing their problem, this man's predicament, to Jesus and leaving him there for, Jesus can do something about that. And in our prayer, maybe we could pray for people with faith, trusting that God can do something about this person and the predicament that they're in. Well, there was a whole crowd there, and Jesus, what does Jesus say? Friend, your sins are forgiven. And I was like, shocked. Don't you see? He can't walk. That's his problem. That's his big problem. Well, no, says Jesus. He has a bigger problem than that, and it's one that can't be seen. And the bigger problem, the biggest problem this man has, is that he is a sinner and needs to be forgiven. He needs God's salvation. And that is this man's biggest need. Maybe we might look around and think, oh, that their problem is this, or my problem is that. Well, God sees our biggest need as his salvation. So the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. So he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees thought to themselves, who can forgive sins but God alone? I think they're right in that. If I was to do something to hurt Dave, and then I asked John Mark for forgiveness, Dave would be like, actually, I'm the one that's hurt here. I should be the one doing the forgiving. But here Jesus is saying that all sin is really an affront to God. And so yes, if we do something to offend somebody or hurt them, we might need to seek their forgiveness, yes, in a practical way. But it's God's forgiveness that we need. And in this, Jesus is really claiming to be God. Notice Jesus knew what they were thinking in verse 22. He knows what they're thinking. He knows what we're thinking. He asked them, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get up, take up your mat and walk? Well, it would be easier for me to say your sins are forgiven because that can't be seen. If there was a paralyzed person here and I said, get up and walk, and they didn't, I'd look a bit weak and foolish, wouldn't I? But that's me. Whereas the point is that they could say neither, or accomplish neither, whereas Jesus can accomplish both. And so he says, to show you that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, tell you, get up, take up your mat and go home. Immediately, there's that word again. He stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on and went home praising God. To show that he could forgive sins that can't be seen, a forgiveness that can't be seen, he gave a healing that could be seen. This man who could not walk was now walking. To show that Jesus had the power to do both. So in this miracle here, there was a man that was cured of his condition, of his paralysis, and able now to walk. But shown who God is, that God is there with them. That God wants to deal not just with what can be seen, but with a bigger condition of what can't be seen. Your sins are forgiven you. In this we see that Jesus has the authority to forgive sin. That's quite something, isn't it? Not just does he have the power to heal or to cleanse, but he has the authority to forgive sin. He is God with us. Little wonder they were amazed and gave praise to God. And they said, we've seen remarkable things today. They had, hadn't they? Who is this man? Well, he is God with us. And then we see the calling of Levi, a man who was called. This tax collector sitting at his tax booth. Now we see that, like the leper, he came to Jesus. The paralyzed man was brought to Jesus. Now we see Jesus going, and there's Levi, at his tax booth. And Jesus said, follow me. Jesus is seeking and saving that which is lost. follow me. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. To be a tax collector for many would have been seen as being a traitor's job. An unclean person would do that. And so they were hated, not just because they took the taxes, but because they were seen as traitors to work for the Roman Empire. And so they didn't like them. They'd have nothing to do with them, really, or as little as possible. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. That's quite something, isn't it? Like those who pulled up their boats on shore, left everything and followed him. Left everything? Even the fish they'd just caught? Left their business? And Levi did the same. Here's Levi, going about his business, counting his money, doing what he's doing, secure job as it were, doing his best, and then he gives it up to follow Jesus. I wonder if he's actually set free from himself. Set free from slavery to his job. Set free to the temporary things of this world. And called to actually something far more meaningful. Something far more purposeful. To actually follow Jesus. And in this little incident, I think we see that Jesus has the desire to save. Even those that are hated and seen as traitors. That he longs to save you and me. And here we see these three people whose lives were turned around by an encounter with Jesus. And as Levi followed Jesus, what did he do? Seems that very same day he had a banquet. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. He wanted other people to come and to meet Jesus, the man that he had chosen to follow and to leave everything and follow. Come and see this man. Come and hear this man. Because he's not just a man. He is God with us. The objection of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? They might contaminate you. We don't want anything to do with them. Notice what Jesus said. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Imagine if there was a medical doctor in for an interview at a position in a hospital. And everything in this interview was going really well. And it looked like this person was going to get the job. And they were going to be happy to do it. And then they said, do you have anything you'd like to say? And then the medical doctor said, well, actually, I have a slight problem. It's nothing much, maybe, but I have a phobia of sick people. I want nothing to do with them. You'd be like, what? Isn't that why you're there? There are people who are lost. People who are lonely. People who are stuck, slavery to sin and to self and to temporary things. God says there's far more to life than whether you work for the Roman Empire or the resistance, as it were. That's not the issue here. There's far more important things than that, and it's that God has come to meet with his people, and God calls us to follow him. I wonder about these people, these three men in this passage here. Could you imagine the man with leprosy going to his home later on that day? Oh yes, he could go there now. He was cleansed. What if he had family? They hadn't seen the incident. They'd be shocked. What happened to you? I met Jesus, and he touched me. He cleansed me. Who is he? He's God with us. And he's seeking and saving those that are lost. Those that are far away, he's bringing near to know God and to follow him. What about the paralyzed man? If he went to his house, I don't know if he was married or had children, or we don't know anything about him really other than what we read here. Maybe he lived with his parents. Maybe he was abandoned on his own now, but went back to other people. Oh, he's walking now. Well, there's a difference there, isn't there? Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Oh yeah, and then to show that, he said, get up and walk. This man had faith himself. And what about Levi? Oh, have you lost your job? Oh no, I gave it up. Why? Yeah, why? Jesus said, follow me. I've found something and someone far more worthwhile, as it were, to work for, to serve, to love, to look to be a part of, than temporary things in this world. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. But I wonder, is Jesus seeking and saving anyone here today? Has there been that change in our lives where people might say, what's happened to you? What's made the difference in your life? Oh, I met Jesus. He sought me. He saved me. He cleansed me. He forgave my sin. And he called me to follow, to partake in what God is doing in his world, to bring it back from separation, from distance, to bring people back into that close fellowship with him, and indeed, to follow him. Jesus has not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, the right turn, and that we might trust him. I mentioned about the person, the power, and the presence of Christ. Think of the proclamations he made here. I am willing, be clean. Friend, your sins are forgiven. We don't need to bring back what God has chosen to forget. If he's forgiven our sins, trust him. And what does he say? Follow me. We're going to sing in closing number 1168 in our hymn books. The words should come up here. Everyone needs compassion, the kindness of a